Are vegans actually unhealthy?
Does cannabis ruin your sleep?
And why are so many men taking testosterone supplements? I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg.
And we're the creators of the popular YouTube channel ASAP Science.
Every week on our podcast Side Note by ASAP Science, we explain the science behind a controversial subject with recent research, up-to-date studies, and ridiculous stories so you are entertained while, bam, simultaneously learning.
We're here to make science make sense.
Download Side Note by ASAP Science wherever you get your podcasts.
Fights over religion are not exactly new in Quebec. The province has a long history of them, in fact, and there's one fight brewing right now that has implications well beyond the provincial border and could spark outrage around the world. Depending on who you ask, the issue at stake in Quebec right now has either absolutely no need for any legislation at all, or is an absolutely critical part of the province's democracy. So, small stakes, right? Quebec's majority provincial government plans to adopt Bill 21 before the National Assembly breaks for holiday in mid-June. If it passes, the bill would ban public workers in positions of authority from wearing religious symbols. You can imagine how messy that would get. So why is this bill necessary? What problem would it solve? How much public support does it have? How do its supporters defend it against criticism that it will unfairly target Muslims in particular? And why is this an international mess just waiting to happen? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Michael Corrin is a columnist and a broadcaster and a recent graduate master's program in divinity at Trinity College, University
with distinction.
Toronto. With distinction.
With distinction. I'm even special within the special.
Well, we wanted to talk to you because this is a religious matter and because you've written about it a couple of times. Can you briefly just start by explaining what Bill 21 in Quebec claims to do?
Well, actually, it's very well put, that question. What it claims to do and what it's intended to achieve are very different things. But ostensibly, it's to remove all obviously religious identification from public administration. So if you work for the state, for the government, and that includes all sorts of things from teachers to police officers and so on, many jobs in Quebec, you won't be allowed to wear things such as, and here's where we become very pertinent, Islamic head covering if you're a woman. Mm-hmm. Perhaps a very obvious crucifix if you're a Christian, yarmulke, skullcap if you're Jewish, and this would also include a turban if you're a Sikh. It won't apply to people who are already in the service, but it was brought in by a Quebec government that is populist to a large degree, and one with a safe majority and still have the majority, and as I wrote in Maclean's, they certainly have the right to do this. It's whether they have the responsibility to act in such a way. But what it's really aimed at, quite obviously, is Muslim women. Very few Jewish people wear a yarmulke. Some do, modern Orthodox. I mean, more Orthodox Jews probably wouldn't be in the public service as much. If you wear a crucifix, well, it's generally underneath a shirt.
Yeah, you can tuck it in.
Yeah, and it's not required. There is no Christian denomination that requires that. Look, Quebec was clerical. It was a clerical state, as was Ireland, as was to a certain extent Spain for the longest time. And all of these countries or provinces have reacted to that. And they've reacted with secularism. It's not particularly contemporary. In Germany in the 19th century, you had what was called the Kulturkampf, where the Prussian state, which was Protestant but just secular, Bismarckian, wanted to defeat the power of the Catholic Church in the south. And you have elements of that in what's going on now. So what has happened in Quebec is that the Catholic Church has really been expunged from power, and the province has become fairly prosperous, partly as a result, but really it's a coincidence. But after Catholicism came the next most visible religion, which was Islam. Mm-hmm. And you have to throw into this Islamophobia. And I think the term is overused. It's one thing to be very, very angry about what ISIS does and about the extremism that is within Islam, but that's a tiny minority of Muslim people. And most of the victims of that sort of craziness are other Muslims.
What is the reasoning behind this from the government's point of view? What argument are they making about why this should happen?
Church and state. They say there has to be a tangible division, separation between church and state. And I think most Canadians would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that in our constitution. The Americans actually do. We don't, but effectively we do have it. We don't have an established church like in England. And I think there are many people in Quebec, because the left, to a large extent, has supported this, by the way. I think there are many who would say, yes, we must have that. But another part of it is simply all of the polls that have, well, pretty much all of the polls that have been taken have shown there is more anti-Muslim feeling in Quebec than other parts of Canada.
Yeah.
Quebec has always been fairly raw in those terms. Its relationship with its Jewish minority, in Montreal in particular, has always been not a troubled one, but a more vibrant one, I suppose, in some ways. If you think of, you know, Leonard Cohen and Mordecai Richmond and so on, but at the same time, there are issues there. So there is the, if you like, positive church and state separation, and the negative, which is we don't like these people, they have to completely assimilate, we're suspicious of. So both of those elements are involved.
What does it look like when it takes effect on the ground? Who will be impacted the most?
Well, it's a good question. We don't really know. Now, we've already had some young Muslim women who wear the hijab who are teachers saying they'll resign, they won't teach anymore.
Hmm.
The protests are taking place. Teachers' unions are very angry. I suspect, as with the New Zealand symbolic gesture, you would have some non-Muslim women wearing the hijab as a protest. But here's the problem. It will marginalize people who want to be part of mainstream society. I mean, this was like a birthday present to the radicals.
How so?
Well, because the Muslim radical position in all over the world, not just in Canada, I know Europe well, what they say to all Muslims is you will never fit in. You are part of world Islam. You're not part of Britain or Canada or France or Germany. Mm. So I never think you are. Now, most Muslims say, that's not true. I am. I'm British. I'm French. I'm German. Well, to say to someone, you cannot wear the hijab.
Yeah.
The radicals, and I've already read some of their propaganda. You see, we told you so. They don't like you. They don't want you. You can only fit in if you lose your Islam. And so Quebec has, they've said they're trying to defeat radicalism. They've played into its hands.
Are outwardly visible religious symbols actually a problem in any way that the government needs to address? Do we know of any sort of reasoning behind things that are resulting from this that the government could at least ostensibly be claiming to be fixing with this?
I think the burqa, the full covering, which is very, I mean, it's very isolated. There are very few people who actually have that. I think that is problematic. If you can't really see the person who you're speaking to, there's body language involved in a court of law, for example, or
sure,
driving a car. But that's a tiny fringe, and that can be, and there are, most people I know in the Muslim community have some issues with that too. But the hijab, which is far more common, which you see quite a bit, I can't think of any problem. I mean, it's a problem for those people who regard it as a problem. Look, there have been experiments undertaken where people have put on a yarmulke, a Jewish a prayer covering, and walked through various areas to find out what the reaction is.
Right.
And it's not a problem for the person who is wearing it and for normal, decent people, but for the anti-Semite, for the bigot, it's a problem. There aren't many of those. So no, I don't see this as being problematic. What I see on the TTC in Toronto all the time are young Muslim girls wearing the hijab and young girls of all sorts of races not wearing it, just larking about, being kids together, mm-hmm, just being normal and Canadian. And we haven't seen it before. It's a new generation. But that's been said over and over again. That was said when Irish Catholics came. That was said when Jews came. I mean, there's always a group who will react badly to a newcomer. But I don't see it as being offensive. I don't see how a teacher wearing a hijab is less able to do her job than a teacher not wearing. When it comes to the wearing of the turban, and now we dealt with this in most of Canada long ago, you know, when Sikhs were prepared to lay down their lives in huge numbers for the empire, the Commonwealth, in the Second World War and, of course, the First World War, people didn't say, oh, I don't know about that, you know, the headgear. And so if a Sikh wants to be a cop, carry a sidearm and say, I'm going to enforce law and order, and we say, well, you can't do it because of what you're wearing on your head. No, we were more sensible than that. So all of these things can be accommodated, but there are some people who don't want to accommodate.
What has the reaction been among Muslims in Quebec and even non-Muslims in Quebec who don't support this?
Amongst Muslims, it's been very negative. I think there's fear and confusion, and they're not sure what's going to happen when it's enforced. Amongst non-Muslims, I have to say there's quite a bit of support for it. Mm-hmm. And not just on the right, the left-wing parties, again, because of their secularism. The French-Canadian left, I don't think it's kept up with the times to a certain extent, because it's still really, it's rooted in secularization. And that doesn't necessarily mean social progress. The Christian variety is, goodness knows I've had some experience with it, the Christian variety is a problem, but but faith in itself shouldn't be a problem for the left. So they're very much behind it in that way, and the government is still popular. There's a significant minority of people from the various religious communities and beyond who are opposed to this, but they're going to be pushed if they're going to win this one.
What about the argument that this is a feminist act? I've heard that argument.
Oh, no, I've heard it too, but I don't think it's for a patriarchal society to tell women what is feminism. I mean, I get very tired of those on the left who say, well, we mustn't talk about other people's cultures because, no, I mean, if widows are being burnt with their dead husbands in India, I whatever the motives, no, this is not right. When it comes to female genital mutilation, I mean, yes, we have to take a position on that. I mean, that's just the way it should be. But this is not the full covering of a body. This is something which is often actually quite attractive. It's a scarf worn around the head. Yeah. And again, where does it come from? If it's a father saying or a husband saying to a woman, you have to, then obviously that's a feminist equation. If it's a woman saying, I want to, then that's also a feminist equation and it's a positive one. So we have to be very careful when we play that card.
Can you explain for me a little bit how you approach issues like this as kind of both a reporter and columnist on one side who has to analyze it, but also as a student of divinity who knows there's a lot to unpack here?
Well, I'm not a reporter. I wouldn't call myself a reporter.
Okay.
I mean, within, you know, I write columns, and within those columns, I will give a background.
Right.
When I read a piece of McLean's about this, obviously I explained what it was, and then I give my opinion. I think if we're reasonable, we can unpack a lot of things. This applies, I mean, I probably sound, you know, very, very old, and why can't we all just sit down together and be decent about it?
It's okay.
It,
that's what we try to do on this podcast.
But I think reasonability, if we really asked ourselves, I can tell you after, you know, 32 years of marriage, here's a tip for you. Whenever you have an argument with your spouse, what am I really annoyed about? And empathize. Do they actually have a point? And often, I mean, in my case, obviously, I'm always in the right. But think about, empathize with a Muslim woman who, and often it's this generation who want to wear the hijab. And, you know, I started going to the Middle East back in 1979, and I hardly, in Palestine, Israel and Palestine, I hardly ever saw Muslim women wearing any. That's changed now. Younger women often feel it empowers them. So why are they doing this? If I am offended, why? Is that reasonable to be offended by that? Is it actually damaging in any way? Am I frightened of something? If so, why? Is this me rather than them? Especially as people age, society is changing. But I think, look, I don't want to digress too much, especially onto this subject, but the whole Jordan Peterson hysteria, a lot of that is fueled by people who are frightened because things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, they are. And they've always been so. And I'm sure my parents couldn't believe the sort of music I was listening to. And just as I'm like a cliche, I say the same thing to my, you know, my kids. That's music. But most of this shouldn't be in any way threatening. And I understand that within Islam, I mean, some terrible things have been done in the name of Islam, but that is not the Muslim faith. And if you've spent any time, the diversity of it, depending where you go, where Islam is a majority, it's not very different from Christianity. Some people are religious, some people are not. Some people use it to hurt others. Most people don't. We shouldn't be frightened of.
If this goes into effect in June, how the heck do they enforce it?
It's another good question. Contracts can simply be withdrawn. If a teacher in a school is wearing a hijab and the other teachers, the other members of staff and the students all support her,
yeah,
what happens then? And I would predict that will happen. I think there'll be a test case where the teachers will all say we're standing in solidarity. Are the police then called in? Is there going to be a physical removal? Is there going to be an arrest? I mean, this could be extremely bad and it'll play the world over. Of course, there will be Supreme Court challenges. The rest of Canada, including the Prime Minister, has condemned this, where we're not in line with it. Now, there's also the context of separatism.
Mm-hmm.
And if it seems to be Canada or even the world ganging up on Quebec, that's going to play into the hands of those who are pushing the separatist agenda, which I don't think has that much support at this stage. But I don't know. It'll be very interesting, but that sounds too indifferent. I think it could be very dangerous.
So if a bunch of the support for this in Quebec is actually coming from the secular left and the progressives, who is then in opposition to it?
Well, that's some of the left. I mean, and it's really supported by populists. And you know, most people don't have a particular view on politics. That's a thing, isn't it? I mean,
right.
What's going on with their lives. But But there are many elements of the left who differ. There's no homogenous left. There are divisions between French and English speaking, but not they're not that deep on this issue. I think it'll be unions. The union, but again, not all of them. I just don't know. I don't know how many. What worries me is that the Muslim community will simply give up and say, well, it's not worth the fight. We'll withdraw, we'll become more insular, we'll set up more of our own schools, and you can teach their way in whatever you want. There'll be private schools, and we'll create an alternative society. Or they'll leave, and it wouldn't be the first time people have left Quebec in huge numbers. You know, 401 used to be full of people leaving Montreal and so on. So that could be the case as well. Muslim kids and their relationship with the police, how will that be affected? I mean, we've learned, for goodness sake, over the years that if kids from minority backgrounds can see the police from that background, it is going to, sometimes that can cause problems, but generally it's a better thing. So there are all sorts of problems. You know, what really annoyed me about this, it was solving a problem that didn't exist.
Yeah.
This is simply not an issue. You know, unemployment is an issue. Terrorism is an issue. Racism is an issue. I mean, there are all sorts of issues. Clean drinking water. This isn't an issue. People weren't saying, well, you know, it's wonderful to live in Quebec, but if only there weren't people teaching in schools with hijabs. It isn't the case.
And it's going to take effect, and then it's going to become more of an issue just because we're going to be fighting over it.
It'll get a lot of visibility. There'll be international coverage of this, too.
Yeah.
You know, France has tried something. It's a very different issue in France. You have a huge number of people from a Muslim background. The majority of Muslims in France say they're secular, and then many from North Africa, which, of course, was colonized by the French. But it's a different issue. And France has always had a very, very strident separation of church and state. And Quebec isn't France. I mean, there may be a certain similarity in language, but it has a completely different history. The histories were totally different from 1690 onwards. So there's no reason why they should say, we're copying what is being done there. I can tell you that the British, I mean, I've lived in Canada for 32 years, but the British experience, you know, the Home Secretary in Britain is a Muslim, the Mayor of London is a Muslim. It just isn't seen to be an issue. I mean, that there are problems with some working-class Muslims from certain communities in the north of England in particular, but this is not the way to move forward. I think I can say this. We'll find out if I'm arrested next time I go to Britain. But I once had a meeting was arranged through a friend who's a member of parliament with some members of the security services in Britain. And what really amazed me was the number of young women I saw with hijabs. Mm. And they were sort of all Oxford and Cambridge graduates who had a certain faith, detested terrorism and fundamentalism, and they had the language skills, the understanding.
Right.
If you cut yourself off from a community completely, they're not going to say, oh, well, we'll have to assimilate. They'll be angry. Their services will no longer be able to be used, and it will cause division. This is, I don't want to overstep here, but this is potentially very, very dangerous.
Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure.
Michael Corrin, columnist, broadcaster, one of the best people in Canada to talk religion with. And that was The Big Story. For more from us, you know where we are, thebigstorypodcast.ca, or on Twitter, @thebigstoryfpn, or we are wherever you get podcasts, on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. We're one of a few podcasts that hasn't pulled our feet off Luminary. So if you like that, you can find us there too. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.